Good evening. After services tonight, I have made copies of several things that you can use against Demetrius for future purposes. So anyone who wants a copy of that, just let me know, and we'll make that available to you. I would also like to say, well, before we start, that I am not a preacher who likes to take up a lot of time. I like to get right into what I need to get into so that we can be done. Before we start, though, I would, if you wouldn't mind, that we would have a word of prayer, and then I'll go right into the lesson. Shall we pray? O kind and eternal Father, it's once again that we come before thy throne of grace and mercy, thanking you, Lord, for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Father God, tonight we pray for those under the sound of my voice and for the families that they represent. Father God, you know their individual needs. And so, Father, if there be needs, we pray that you would visit them at the appointed time. And Father God, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who willingly left the coats of glory, came to earth, lived, and died, that we may have a right to the tree of life. And so tonight, Father, for your word, we pray that they would see more of the cross and less of me. Father God, because it's not about the person standing before these people, but it's about the word that we try our best to preach and teach. Father God, forgive us where we failed you, and help us to be better in the present than we've ever been in the past. Forgive us where we failed you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Edna Mae Fontenot. That's a name that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but to me it does. She was my grandmother. Somewhere between 65 and 70 years old, she made the decision to take in a child whose parents had issues and at that particular time couldn't care for him. And as I began to get older, I was introduced to washing dishes. Now, for all my young people here tonight, by show of hands, how many of us like to wash dishes? Really? And so as you can see, none of the young people raised their hands. I absolutely hated to wash dishes. And one of the reasons why I hated to wash dishes was because I didn't quite understand how I could wash dishes and not get water all over me. And almost all the time, when I was told, not asked, when I was told to wash dishes, there was something good playing on the television. And so I slide away from the TV, go in the kitchen, start washing dishes, and before you know it, I'm done. I run back to the TV, and I start watching it again. But if you had a grandmother like I had, 4'10", maybe 100 pounds, didn't play any games. She'd walk over to the kitchen. She'd look at the dishes. She'd walk over to the trash can. She'd look at the trash can. She'd look at the floor, the stove, the countertops. And she'd say, come here, boy. Get back in there and clean those dishes the way that I showed you to clean them. And when you're done, sweep the floor and take out the trash and wipe down the counter. You see, the question of whether or not the kitchen was clean didn't rest with me. It rests with the one who gave the command. And worship is no different. You see, the problem I believe that some of us have is that when it comes to God, worship is not left up to the individual who's worshiping the object of that worship. There was a bumper sticker one time that came out and many people took to it. And before you say amen, I want you to understand the point that I'm trying to make. It said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, I have issue with that bumper sticker because God said it. That settles it. Whether I believe it or not doesn't make any never mind. Let me tell you another bumper sticker that I sometimes have issue with. God is my co-pilot. If God is my co-pilot, I'm speaking about me. I don't know about you. But if God is my co-pilot, then that means that he's not driving the vehicle. I am. And I'm subject to wreck and make a mess of my life because of it. Turning your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, we'll read the text and then we'll go ahead and get into the lesson tonight. And when you have it, say amen. Colossians chapter 2, and wait for me at verse number 20. Now I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version, and as I go around, or as I go through with supplemental material, Demetri is to read from for me, because I know that most of you have King James. Verse 20 says, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use? In accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. Verse 23, these are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom, and my translation says, in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Go down to chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul says, therefore, as a result of everything that I've said, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. Will worship is and always will be void of God. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, and wait for me there. You see, the problem with so many is that they have set up false idols. It has become more about us and less about God. Worship is not a pastime, and it is something that believers should never take for granted. Here's one of the things I believe that we struggle with the most, that we don't get credit just for showing up. Worship is precious. And it's a time where we come together as one unit and offer up praises to God. Our hearts and attitudes must be right. Here's the thing. Oftentimes when we come into worship, we have come into worship with the stench of the world. And the reason being is because we spend so much time in the world, be it work or whatever other activities that we find ourselves in. And then when we come to worship, we come to worship with some of the same issues that we should have left in the world. But rather than leave them in the world, we bring them into the church. How are we going to worship with our minds and our hearts so clouded by the things of the world. And not only that, but some of us have issues with one another. And rather than deal with the issues, we bring the issues in the church. Worship is not a pastime. And God doesn't have a roll book and a pencil, and He doesn't give you credit just because you showed up. What are you doing when you get there? You know, I used to say, or I used to hear people say, a long time ago, you know, I dealt with the world all week. Now I want to go in there because I need a word. And rightly so, you do need a word. But here's the thing that we need to understand. That my purpose for worshiping is not for me to get something out of it. My worship is to God. And so when you come to worship, come with the understanding that I'm here to give something, not receive something. Read Philippians chapter 3.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction.
Whose end is destruction.
Whose God is their belly.
Whose God is their belly. And stay right there. Stay right. Hold up now. Might be some good preaching in that right there. All right. Here's the issue that I think that we can talk about, bring to the forefront, and then deal with it so that maybe it won't become an issue. Our worship to God should be so much so. We should be so rooted in God, and our minds should be so set on the things of God that when we come into worship, we come with the mindset that, Lord, it's all about You. It's all about You. And we're human. I know that. We go through stuff. Let me tell you something. I was having a discussion with one of the brothers this morning. For so long, it was hard for me to walk into the house of the Lord and just surrender everything at the door and worship God effectively. I have a sister that was going through a chemo treatment with cancer of the brain. And so how can I go into the house of the Lord, leave all of my issues, all of my self-aggrandizement, all of the things that I've gone through, how can I leave that at the door, come in and worship God in the way that He wants me to worship Him? Because that's the thing that we need to understand. When it comes to worship, God didn't leave it up to us.
That's right.
So I just came to the realization, Lord, that I'm going to put everything in Your hand. And when I did, I stopped worrying about it. We would pray, we would talk, our spirits were great, and I'm glad to stand before you today and say that she is 100% cancer free. Glory be to God for that. But when God instituted worship, He didn't ask for our help. And the reason why I believe that there are so many issues in the Lord's church is because people are adding things that they should not add. And even some of them are subtracting things that they shouldn't subtract. That's the reason why the roles of men and women have been changed. The reason why the Lord's Supper is a suggestion. The reason why now there are instrumental music in worship. The reason why there are praise teams and mimes and all kind of other foolishness. Because people have put themselves in the place of God. They have substituted His will for their will. And God says, yeah, that might be appealing to you. And that might be appealing to the folk out there, and you're doing this to get people to come in. But what you're saying is that my word is not enough. And I need help. And He doesn't. If we go back to Genesis chapter 1, and now I'm just going off on a tangent, just bear with me. But when God said, let there be light, He didn't ask for anybody's help. He didn't ask for anybody's help. And it's no different today. If God will remain the subject of worship in the hearts of His people, He must first be the source of that same worship. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, what are you saying, Roy? That the things that we do in worship are of faith, which means that we heard it from the Bible. And if it's not of faith, then we shouldn't be doing it. We shouldn't be doing it. I don't care who it is. I don't care how long they've been in Christ. I don't care how long they've been preaching the gospel. And then you got some of these jokers now been preaching 40 and 50 years. They just started to change their views. I'm not trying to preach a different gospel to get along. I'm not. I'm not. You know, I'm a little older now, a little wiser. But even back then, when I was just a babe in Christ, you couldn't pull any old thing on me. And the Lord's people should be the exact same way. You have faithful individuals, faithful members of the church, sitting there, not saying anything, listening to these jokers preach stuff that's not in the book. Jesus didn't give you another revelation. All the revelation we need is right here. And so Paul is dealing with an issue. Here are people who, Christians, who have been washed by the blood of Jesus. And now, after being washed by the blood, they go back to those things that they had been delivered from. And Paul says, why, after being washed in the blood of Jesus, do you submit yourselves to things that won't do anything for you? Why do you submit yourself to decrees or ordinances? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. So in other words, what you're saying is that in order for me to be a Christian, is the same issue that Paul talked about in Galatians. That in order for you to be a Christian, you have to first be baptized, but then also take some of the teachings from the law of Moses? That didn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense. Will worship is void of God. God is not in it. God does not love it. And eventually, those who are subject to this type of worship, God will deal with. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16, please. Romans 16, I believe that's in the New Testament. And when you have it, D, you can read it. Romans 16:17-18.
Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are of such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
So in other words, this scripture is akin to Philippians chapter 3. And we all know those smooth-talking brothers. They get up there, boy, and they just talking. And the people eating it up. You know, eating it up. Not searching the scriptures like the Thessalonians. Making sure that, but because he's eloquent of speech, he must be right. You know, years ago, of course, before Demetrius and even myself, you know, maybe 50, 60, maybe some of the brothers know most certainly, you know, when you said Church of Christ, you didn't have to worry about the stuff that we worry about today. You know, it was even said one time that there was a court trial going on and they didn't have a Bible. And said the judge asked, anybody in here from the Church of Christ? Guy raised his hand. Yes, sir, I am. He said, come here, put your hand on his head. Just as good as a Bible. Just as good as a Bible. Because we were Bible teaching, Bible preaching, Bible studying people. And now when somebody's called to speak or preach, we got to do a background check. Just like employment. Well, let me make sure this rascal here ain't, ain't jumped on his last boss, because if he get hot, he might jump on me. Got to do a background check for somebody to come and preach, because we don't know whether or not our beliefs are in line with one another. In the second place, will worship is voluntary by its giver. It's voluntary. And what it says is that you looked within yourself and said, God, you need my help. And so because you need my help, I'm going to go ahead and help you. And so I'm going to implement some things in worship that I know that are not right. But because I feel that we will get more of a return from people doing it this way, I'm going to do it. But here's the thing that we need to understand. That those things only last for a little while. Family, we have shifted our focus. We have substituted God's will for our will. And in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21, Jesus himself said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. But then here's the scary thing. He says, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? In thy name done wonderful works? In thy name cast out devils? And then here's the sobering thought. Then I will profess to them, depart. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. My translation says lawlessness. Basically what Jesus is saying is that you knew better, but you didn't do better. They said, Lord, here are people who are trying to establish a relationship with Jesus, not based on what he said, but based on what they do. Oh, well, I know the Lord is with me. Look at all this stuff I have. Really? The Bible says that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Well, I know the Lord. You might know the Lord, but does the Lord know you? Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? And in thy name do all of these things? You want to establish a relationship based on the things that you do rather than the things that I say to do. And then he said, he who hear these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. I liken him unto a man that built his house on what? On a rock. On a rock. And Jesus compares and contrasts a man that hears and does to a man that built his house on a rock, and the ones that don't, they built the house on the sand. And there are many congregations of the Lord's church right now that are built on sand. Membership is overflowing. Move buildings, then set up other works. We got some jokers where I'm from. They preaching at two separate congregations. It's crazy. When I graduated from school, one of my Bible professors said, Roy, the only way that you will ever be successful in preaching is if you keep the main thing, the main thing. Demetrius and I and whomever else, we are just vehicles. That's all we are. We're tools. And I guarantee that when I take that final dirt nap, that the church will still go on. It didn't start with me, and it sure enough won't end with me. And if I ever get beside myself to think that it will, let me die and see what happens. Some of you might come. Oh, that old brother Roy, he was all right. You know, we loved him. Might even shed a tear. But guess what? Tomorrow, reality sets in. Life still got to go on. I buried two parents, all my grandparents. It hurt a lot. My dad, best friend I ever had in my life. He died. guess what? Life had to go on. You know, that's just the way that life is. We have to continue to move forward, but move forward in the way that God has for us to move. I can't do anything without God. And I am nothing without Him. And the minute that I think that I can do everything without Him, I just told myself the biggest lie. Here is something that I want you guys to consider, family. Sometimes if we are not careful, we can worship the worship of God, but not the God of worship. I think I said something right there. If we are not careful, sometimes we can worship the worship of God and not the God of worship. Real worship is voluntary by its giver. And then I have a question here. Who told you to do that? Who told you to do that? If Jesus said that we ought to partake of the Lord's Supper to remember what He did on Calvary, who am I to make it a suggestion? Well, brother, if you go down this hall and make a left, and they got a room over there, the light's going to be on, and the door's going to be open, and the communion is going to sit over there on the table, and you can take it if you want to take it. Really? So you're telling me that Calvary wasn't important enough to listen to the words of Jesus when He said, "He that eat this bread and drink this cup, show forth the Lord's death until He come again"? That's not important enough. When we sing songs of Zion to God because of all that He has done, what you're telling me is that that's not important enough? That's not important enough. But when it comes to giving, You set up a website where if I don't have cash, I can give from the house with my card? That's important? That's more important than the communion? Really? And this is not made up stuff. This is real life stuff. This is what some have done. You and I would not be here if Calvary never happened. So sometimes I tell the brethren at home, if we came in here and preached a 5-minute sermon, the one thing that we want to never, ever forget is the communion. And sometimes they look at me crazy. What is the truth? If Calvary never happened, if Jesus never died, we would be men and women in this world most miserable. And some of us have made it a mere suggestion. Well, I just shrug my shoulders. Well, if you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't worry about it. It's my last point. Will worship is a violation of God's will. It's a violation of God's will. And I'll give you some scripture references. We don't have time to deal with them all tonight, but you can, if you're taking notes, you can look at them later. Some of us have sacrificed our faith. But the good thing about it is that that's not the rest of the story. As long as there's air in our bodies, we can get it right. You remember the story of Nadab and Abihu? Over there in Leviticus chapter 10, I think about the first seven verses. Demetrius, I do need you to go to Leviticus 10 and get for me, I think it's verse 5 through 7. I'm going to make a point there. But here we have two individuals, two brothers, Aaron's son. And one of the good things about studying is that you sometimes run into things that you would otherwise see. You know, for a lot of us, we'll read, you know, we'll retain some things, and sometimes the things that we should notice, we kind of just run over it. I do it all the time, which is why it's always good to look at things over and over, especially when you're trying to, if you're teachers, you know, go back over it, read it, make sure that you have it, because there's little nuggets sometimes that we omit, and this was one of the cases. And so you all know the story. Nadab and Abihu, they offer strange fire to God. And God sends fire down from heaven. And then he consumes them. He kills them. The fire was strange in that it was something that God did not authorize. You see how serious it is? What does verse 5 say?
So they went near and carried them into mm-hmm. in their coats mm-hmm. out of the camp, as mm-hmm. Moses had said. Mm-hmm. And Moses said unto Aaron and Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, mm-hmm. neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you, and they did according to the word of Moses.
Okay, all right. Okay, so quick question. How many mothers in here? Just raise your hand. How many mothers? All right. Here's the point. So these men, they are working in the service of the Lord. And they die. And then right after God consumes them, he tells Aaron, don't stop what you're doing. Now, for the mothers and fathers in here that have kids, some of us know what it is, what it's like to have a kid that's a rascal. Just be honest. When they're young, they're all angels, but then when they get older, sometimes they can be difficult. But if something happened to your child, you would be devastated. Because irregardless of how they are as a grown-up, that's your baby. And so I wonder how Aaron felt. God has consumed both of my sons, and he doesn't even want me to mourn them. And he says that if I do mourn them, he's going to take my life. You see how serious this is? But not only that, he's inside of the tabernacle working as a priest. And God says, you better not come out of there. Continue doing the work that I have for you to do. So you see how serious worship to God is? And then as I'm passing, I'll just say, and then immediately after that, they say, well, you know, y'all don't need to be drinking no wine or no strong drink. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm meddling now. Let me hurry up and finish. Okay, let me hurry up and finish. I'm sorry. I want to be invited back. I apologize. Look, I'm messing with y'all so much. I went the wrong way in the Bible. I was supposed to go the other way. Exodus 32. Moses is on the mount getting instruction from God. And God tells him, and them jokers down there acting a fool. Well, they didn't know what had happened to Moses. So they go to Aaron, someone who should know better. And say, look, we don't know what happened to Moses, so this is what we want you to do. We want you to make us a golden calf. So that we can bow down and what? Worship it. How do you worship a golden calf? Well, that's easy. Any way you want to worship. How do you worship God specifically the way that he wants to be worshipped? Solomon, 1 Kings 11, 1 through 11, you can write it down. I won't reference it. And then Jeroboam, 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. You see that old lady there in the country in a small town in New Iberia. She loved me. And she loved me so much that she was willing to break my back. And the same is true of God. We can't come in here and give to Him second best. If we have issues with one another, we need to deal with them in the parking lot. And we're human. You know, some of us, we have hang-ups and different things like that. And I know because, you know, I was that way. But at the end of the day, this is the most precious place that you and I could ever come to. And because it's precious, we ought to treat it like it's precious. Will worship is void of God. It's voluntary by its giver, and it is a violation of God's will. And I'm reminded of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and about verse 10, I believe, if my memory serves me correct. He said that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. And worship will be one of them. Worship will be one of them. If you're here today and you may need prayer for some particular reason, maybe you're going through things in your life, maybe you can say within yourself, "Preacher, I haven't been worshiping according to the way that I should because I don't come with my heart in the right place, with my mind in the right place." You can get it right. If there is anyone tonight that needs to respond to the Savior's invitation, we bid you to do so as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.